It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 20. We're going to begin reading with the 13th verse, Genesis chapter 20, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter beginning with the 13th verse. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I'm glad that you're with us today. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and find Genesis chapter 20, verse 13, and we're going to begin reading there. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is the kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and manservants and womanservants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleases thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have taken thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee. And with all other, thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this, your word, and I praise you for it. Please guide and lead us, Lord, as we enjoy this study, and help us to clearly see your way and will for our lives. Now, please, Lord, touch every heart, lost and saved alike. Those that are saved, I ask that you'll touch their hearts, that they will grow in you and come more and more in love with you every day. And I hope, Father, those that do not know you, that have rejected you to this point, that your Spirit will touch their hearts today. They'll recognize their sin and they'll turn to you and come to the cross of Calvary where they must meet you and be saved. Please, Lord, touch their hearts, touch our hearts, touch my heart, touch every heart that's listening today. Please open our ears to you that it may come to our hearts and we'll be changed. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at these verses of Scripture, I started last time we were together and we looked at the places where Lot's children were. I apologize again for turning that direction around and getting the wrong directions. I hope that I didn't. I hope that I got you enough that you went into a map and looked at it and says, oh, wait a minute, Larry, you're wrong. And so I hope that I got that straightened out for you. We began then in the 20th chapter, and we started to look at what Abraham was up to, and we find him that he is running away from the Lord for some reason. It doesn't have that appearance up front, but when you begin to look at it and you find out that Abraham's on a place where he doesn't think God would be found, that's not a good place to be. And, you know, it's kind of the same way in our lives. We need to be careful that why would we want to go to some place where we don't think God would be there? And that's exactly what his statement was as we look back here. And let me turn the page back. And it was the whole process of time here when he lied unto Abimelech, and it was only a half a lie, remember. Remember where he went. He went to Gerar, which is down by Kadesh, and I reminded you of Kadesh Barnea is where we're going to be when the nation of Israel comes to its full body and begins to move out of by the leadership of the Lord out of Egypt and then on to the promised land. And when it arrives there, why, we'll find it the place will be Kadesh Barnea is where it is where they stop and send the spies in. So we find him very far south and probably further south than he should have been. He has done this before. He has said before that she is my sister. So he's been kind of down this road once before, which was a sad direction. And so now we find him repeating the process. Don't we do the same? Don't we repeat the process, even though we've kind of, in Abraham's case here, got caught once and chastised by the world, by a lost person? Well, we find here Abimelech doing the same thing. He continued to ask, why? Why did you do this? You know, for what purpose did you do this? God had shown Abimelech and said that this man is a prophet. I want you to restore to him his wife. And so he made it very clear, and if you don't, you're going to die. That was the condition that we found everything in. And then Abimelech rose up early in the morning in verse 8 and shared that with all of his servants and those around him. All of them were very afraid. And then Abimelech came to Abraham and said to Abraham, he had the question, why? Why did you do this to me? For what reason did you do this? Abraham didn't have a good reason. Abraham tried to make an excuse. Well, she is my sister. I didn't really lie to you. But Abraham did, because it was to save his own neck. And he made that statement, you know, do this. And they had kind of made this agreement. And look at the 13th verse here. It came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. Now, the only places, now if we talk about leaving his father's house, we're back at our Chaldees again. And it doesn't make any mention, when he got to Bethel and got to the promised land, that he ever once mentioned that this is my sister, and that wasn't spoken at all. When he was up where he was supposed to be. Now, when he went into Egypt, he did. And then he comes back now. He's back down south at Gerar. And we find him doing the same, making the same excuses and putting the same lies before him and everything. And when that's put into place, it seems strange that, he says, you know, wherever we pass, I'm going to call you my sister. Well, he sure did have a lot of faith and trust in the Lord, didn't he? Well, let's not criticize Abraham too much, because we walk down that same road and we make the same excuses. And it's so sad that when he makes a statement in verse 11, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place. Now, then what's he doing there? What is a man of God doing in a place where the fear of God he doesn't believe will be there? And so as we're looking at this, we just continue to look at these steps and stages in Abraham's life. Good for us, because we can see that we make the same mistakes, and God here protects Sarah, even though Abraham was ignorant. The Sarah's protected. Sarah was a part of it, because she agreed to do it. She was following Abraham's leadership here. Abraham wasn't much of a spiritual leader at this time, was he? And now we come to this little part here that I want to remind you of, that we talked about last week. Abraham, in verse 11, Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God would be this place. I thought. Now, when you decide, and you can put in your mind, I thought, when you decide not to come to church, when you decide that something else is more important than being in the house of God, when you decide those things, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, being gone for a short period of time to vacation and to be away from the regular day's work and things like that, and you're gone over a weekend or for a week or for 2 weeks, the problem is that on a weekly basis, you have made a decision that I'm not going to come to Sunday night Bible study. I'm not coming to Wednesday night Bible study. You've made those decisions. Now, maybe your church doesn't even have those things. Shame on you if they don't. Because I'll tell you what, one study a week isn't enough, isn't near enough. You need to be studying God's Word daily. But to be together with other believers in a place of refuge that we call the local church, It should be a joy to your heart to get together. And if you don't want to get there, you're thinking way too much. You're playing Abraham here. You're saying, I thought, you know, I thought we would be okay if we don't go. I thought we'd be okay. You got children, you're teaching those children that God isn't important, and it's a very dangerous philosophy to teach your children, and you will pay for that, I guarantee you. Please that you look to the Word of God and stop trying to decide. Abraham shouldn't have been down there, got him in all kinds of trouble, and it started with those words right there, I thought. Now, we come, and he tries to justify himself. Isn't that sound just like us? And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. She has become my wife, but she is my sister. You know, he was trying to, even when he was caught, he was trying to justify it. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall go. Say of me, he is my brother. He didn't have a lot of faith, did he? And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and manservants and woman servants and gave them unto Abraham. And he restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. Ain't that something? Now here's Abimelech. He didn't do anything wrong. And yet he is surrendering all these things unto the prophet, unto Abraham, because of who he is and who God is. Now it seems strange, in all the wealth and the possessions that Abraham possesses, that he would not come into a land and say, I am of a strange land. I come to dwell in your land. And here is my introduction to you, my offering unto you. Instead of that, why, it was the other way around. This man offered all these wonderful things, sheep and oxen and manservants and woman servants, and gave them to Abraham. And then he restored his Sarah. Here, you take her. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. Unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Now, if you're going to call him sister and brother, I'll do the same. I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee, and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech. Remember, what was going to happen to Abimelech if he didn't do this? He was going to die. And we find out that it was a little bit, it was even prior to a physical death, they were also dead as far as childbearing. Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Look what happened when that took place. All because Abraham went down south. Why he left the land, I don't know. There was a famine in the land when he went to Egypt. God told him to go to Canaan. He didn't tell him to go to Egypt. He should have stayed in Canaan. He should have asked the Lord to protect him. You told me to come to Canaan. I'm in Canaan. Now, bless me here, Lord, because I'm going to stay here. And, you know, a lot of times when things get difficult, it's easier for us to move on to something else, to quit. That's what we love to do. We love to quit. But we find here that this is what Abraham has done a couple times. Now, why did he move on? Why did he move on from where he was dwelling down to Gerar? He just did. And we don't know why, but I don't believe he should have been there. And so we have this story here and a truth in God's word of what happened to the man of God. And Abimelech was restored, and his household was restored to where they could once again have children. And so it doesn't really tell us clearly how Abraham come to the realization. I mean, we find him up here making an excuse in verse 12. She is my sister. You know, I didn't lie to you. Well, when the king Abimelech took her. He just says, she's my sister, but she's also my wife. Now, you need to understand that. And instead of that, why, he let her take him, you know. And so now we find that Abraham is back, I believe, where he should be, because he prayed unto God. And God heard Abraham's voice, and he healed Abimelech and his household. Now, at this time, again, this is the second time that Abraham has went down out of the Lord's will. Again, he went to a place where he said, surely the fear of God is not in this place. And what was he doing there? Think about that as you go and into different places, different lands. You just ask the Lord where he wants you to be instead of just going where you want to be. It's all seemed to be taken care of here by the end of the 18th verse of the 20th chapter. But it's a sad story. It's a story of a lack of faith in Abraham. And so lack of trusting in his direction, his will. All things that we need to learn. Now, let's take a look now at the 21st chapter. I was sure that we were finishing there. And let's look on to the 21st chapter. And I'm going to read some verses of Scripture with you. And then we'll begin the study. Chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now, we're going to stop with the 8th verse there. We may get just a little bit further before the day is finished, but we find that this promise, promise that had been coming for so long, because you see, when he left Ur of Chaldees, he was promised that he would be a great nation, and yet he had no children. We'd went through his servant Eliezer. We have went through the son that he thought would be the one when he went into Hagar and had Ishmael. And each time God says, no, I told you it would be your seed. It would be between you, with you and Sarah. Back to the 20th chapter in the 11th verse, Abraham thought, you know, that's what happened when he was looking at Abimelech. That's what happened when he went into to Hagar. Abraham began to think like the world instead of trusting in the Lord. But I'm going to ask you, how strong would your faith be when you're closing in on 100 years old and you're promised to be a great nation and you have no seed? You have no offspring? Sarah's 90 years old and long past, in both cases, long past the ability, physical ability, to have children. In either case, Abraham couldn't father children. Sarah couldn't give birth, couldn't conceive, couldn't give birth to children. Remember some time back that Sarah laughed? Remember when that promise was given and Sarah was inside her tent door and she heard the words of the pre-incarnate Christ, the Lord Jesus, when he was talking to Abraham? And all of a sudden she laughed and he says, you laughed. Oh, no, I didn't. And see, the Lord knows. She laughed. And here, why, she uses those words again in the 6th verse. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And so it was a joy, such a great joy. And this was a great miracle. This was a wonderful miracle, the birth of Isaac. We'll find many things as we walk through the life of Abraham, continue to walk through the life of Abraham and the life of Isaac. We'll find many beautiful pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we have something that was impossible. How could a man that was 100 years old and a woman that was 90 years old at this time, the time of Sarah and Abraham, long after, I mean years and years and years after they could be to the age of childbearing, and yet God produced a child through Abraham. Abraham fathered it. Sarah conceived and carried that child and gave birth to that child. And again, the Lord visited Sarah. The Lord visited Sarah. That's the difference. With God, it can anything. Anything can take place. It'll bring honor and glory to Him. And here we have the birth of this son, a miraculous birth that everyone had probably long forgotten, even the promise. But I know Sarah and Abraham had not forgotten the promise. Abraham, maybe he had slightly forgotten the promise because he continued to have Ishmael very close to him. Think then, Ishmael, he'll be okay. Even God repeatedly said, no, through thy seed, through you and Sarah, this is going to take place. Well, Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. The set time. Why did Abraham have to be 100 and Sarah 90? Because it was God's set time. Why is the Lord Jesus Christ born some 2,000 years, 1,800 years, 1,900 years after this time here? Because that was the set time. That was the set time. There will be a time that God will bring, usher in the tribulation. And the church, all believers in Jesus Christ that are alive in that day, will be raptured, will be taken out. The graves of the dead in Christ, those that have physically died, the graves will be opened, and if I am alive on that day, we will be raptured into the air, receive our glorified bodies, and forever be with the Lord Jesus. When is that day going to come? It's God's set time. When will the tribulation begin? God's set time. It'll be shortly after the rapture of the church. When will the end of the tribulation take place? 7 years later. When will the thousand-year millennium, the reign of Christ upon this earth, begin? It will begin at the close of that 7 years. But every one of those times is set times, and it's God's set time, no one else's. You hear people that are so supposedly so godly that they set a date. They figured it out. No, they haven't. Because those dates have come and passed in many cases. Maybe they've set a date in the future. But I'll tell you what, it's God's time. Abraham set a date many times. Abraham set a date with Abimelech and said that your son will be okay. God said, no, that's not my date. That's not my time. And then he did the same thing with Hagar and Ishmael. God said, that's not my date. That's not my time. His time was right no matter what physical condition Abraham and Sarah had become in their old, old age. Didn't matter because it was God's time. God visited Sarah and Sarah conceived. Abram bare a son and it was at the set time of which God had set. Had spoken to him, had set. Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Called his name Isaac. Now, why did he call his name Isaac? Is that the name that Abraham had picked out? Was that the perfect name that he had chosen? Do you remember? Let's look back to see if we can see if there was a reason for this name Isaac. Let's look back at the 17th chapter. And if we look at the 17th chapter, the 19th verse. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. You see, that's the reason There was a time set. The name was given. And so we find here, as we look at these verses of Scripture, that Abraham followed through with the Lord's wishes as the Lord visited Sarah. Abraham was able to father this child miraculously. It was all upon God's set time. Wonderful. Abraham called the name of his son, which was born unto him, whom Sarah bare, to him Isaac. Not who Hagar bare, not through their servant's son, but Sarah. Very clear. And that's what he had said from the beginning. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Remember when they went through, Abraham and all his house had taken on this seal, this identification of being God's people. And Abraham circumcised Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, once again, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Who ever guessed that I could nurse this child? Who ever guessed that I could conceive, carry the child, give birth to the child, and nurse the child? I'm so old, that's left me so long ago. But you see, it was at the set time. And God can do anything. God can do anything. And so, but what we need to remember is, it's His doing. You know, we say, well, God has chose not to do this. Well, maybe it's not God's will. Maybe you're praying for something that's totally out of God's will. And so, maybe not. Maybe it's just not time yet, as the time here. They continue to pray and continue to ask the Lord to bring them a child. And then they begin to think, and they begin to try to do it their own way. And that's exactly what we do. When God has tarried, we begin to try to do things at our own time and our own way. And many times, it is not the will of God that we do that. And sometimes it's not that it's what we do is so wrong. Many times it's the timing that is wrong, because we are not willing to wait upon God. As Abraham found himself down at Gerar, and he says, I didn't think that the fear of God was down here. Well, then, what was he doing there? That keeps to be my question here. But the problem was that Abraham thought. They circumcised their son as God commanded. Boy, it seems like everything is moving correctly now. You know, Abraham has returned unto the Lord. Abraham, God has visited Sarah. The child is born. They've named the child Isaac. The child was circumcised at 8 days old. Sarah can't believe that she can nurse this child, and yet that's exactly what she's doing. And, you know, I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. What a day of celebration. What a beautiful day. They have waited for this promise year after year after year, a promise that was given to them when they left Ur of Chaldees. That promise was given to them. You know, we have been in the land. We've been to Egypt. We've been down here to Gerar. We've went up north, brought Lot back when he was captured with those of Sodom and Gomorrah. We've watched Abraham build altars. We've watched him try to figure out how God was going to make this work. And then we find, finally, Abraham kind of gives up. And he says, okay, Lord. And that's when it took place. It was all set upon God's time. And that's wonderful. Upon God's time. Now, we have a feast. We have a wonderful festival that's going on as this child, Isaac, is weaned. So we have come through. How old was Isaac at the time? 2 or 3 years old. All this has taken place. He has restored unto Sarah that youth, wonderful strength and power to raise a child and to nurse a child and to care for a child. And she has so much joy in her heart that she wants all to be joyful with her. Abraham is in the will of God. Sarah is in the will of God. And we have this young man named Isaac. Now we're going to begin with the 9th verse next time, and all of a sudden we're stumbling onto this name Hagar again. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?